Yes, welcome back into the Auburn Daily Show, the Wednesday edition. I am Harrison Tarr, joined every Wednesday by Dylan Lark. How are you doing today, Tank?
I'm doing just fine. I got out of bed about 40 minutes ago, so I got prepared. I'm ready to talk both Auburn football and Auburn baseball today.
That is the right answer, Dylan, because we've got a lot to talk about on today's installment of the Auburn Daily Show. Let's start with spring football. The guys are on spring break, so I know that that's kind of weird to think about because now that we're out in the real world, you forget spring break happens. Last year, you and I were on a beach, first ones to ever do it. Never seen before beach action on spring break. But we got a little intermission here in the guys being away from campus. But spring football is in full swing right now. And the conversations are growing, and it's becoming a common theme here at the Auburn Daily as well as our work over at the College Loop. To start looking at position by position and where the ship is headed under Hugh Freeze in his first year. Let's talk some wide receivers today, buddy. I almost said guys, but Daniel Locke's fully not here. So let's talk a little wide receiver here on the Auburn Daily Show. And let's really break it down in terms of where we've heard from both Zach Lackerby and from people around the program the reps are being given to in terms of with the first teams at the wide receiver position. Plenty of people talking about the quarterback. I want to talk about who's catching the football because there's been some mix-up here. It's been some names that we expected could make an impact that are definitely making an impact and some names we thought might make an impact that aren't. So, Dylan, where do you want to start here in terms of guys that are really kind of solidifying their spot here this spring?
By specific guys, I think Camden Brown is probably where you want to start off because he is getting the starting wide receiver one. Words are a little hard in the morning. Reps, yes, there we go. He's the one getting all the WR1 reps, if you will.
Sure. I'm curious to get your thoughts here. I'm really high on Camden Brown. I think a lot of people are really high on Camden Brown. What does he do well, Dylan, that really solidifies him to be part of this offense, but whether that's Robbie Ashford, Holden Jarner, TJ Finley, Hank Brown, someone else throwing the football, what does he add to the offensive scheme that Auburn is running under Hugh Freeze in 2023, pretty much I'm putting the ball on the tee here, but I'll let you go ahead and vocalize that because I know you're high on Camden Brown too, unless I'm mistaken.
Oh yeah. Coming into the season, he is listed at 6'3", 202 pounds. And size, that's what he offers is size. He's a great possession receiver. He can go up and get it. He's got that sneaky speed that you don't expect from a tall receiver like this. And he's just like the perfect receiver for the Auburn Tigers right now, and he can only get better. I mean, he has three more years to play for Auburn, and I mean, best comes to best for him. He isn't going to be here all those years, but I'm looking at Camden Brown. He is going to be that true wide receiver threat, a wide receiver talent that Auburn has not had since probably in the prime days of Dakiel Williams before he was eventually off the team. But Camden Brown offers that same go up and get it that he has, and he's also faster than Duke Williams is. So Auburn fans should be very excited for Camden Brown and his future.
Another guy that offers frame, a former Bearcat, someone that I know that you followed for a good period. Talk to me a little bit about Nick Martin.
All right, so Nick Martin is a guy I've been comparing a lot to Quentin Johnston, who had an outstanding season last year for the national championship runner-up TCU. Listed at, I believe he's 6'6", about 220 pounds, because you can't be that tall without weighing that much. I'm going to look it up while I'm talking. But yeah, Nick Martin offers something that is off, like he's 4 inches taller than Camden Brown is, but they're around the same speed. And you don't get that from these tall receivers like that. Like they are sneaky fast. If you're not paying attention, then they're going to go right by you. And believe me, they're also go right over you. Oh, Nick Martin, yeah, 6'6", 215. There we go. And if you look at it from Quentin Johnston, see how the season he had, I think Quentin Johnston is about 6'5", about 215. It's all there. And Nick Martin had a kind of a down year with Cincinnati because the quarterback situation for the Bearcats wasn't the best after Desmond Ridder left. They were going through several other guys. Ben Bryant and Nick Prater were two guys who were battling it out all season. Evan Prater, sorry. But Nick Martin transferred to Auburn. And it looks like he's going to make an immediate impact. Also, he's getting that starting outside wide receiver role opposite of Camden Brown. So when you look at quarterbacks like Robbie Ashford or whoever Auburn ends up probably getting from the transfer portal after the spring, they have two very tall outside receivers who are both quick, talented, And I mean, I'm in love with this wide receiver room.
I can't say I disagree. I mean, this, it's something to be excited about. Let's talk about another guy who a little bit smaller, 6'1", 198 out of Kenner, Louisiana. Junior wide receiver Coy Moore. A lot of people really think that Coy Moore can be a difference maker in 2023. And I guess I'm listening to the Zach Blackerby School of Football too much, but I don't think they're wrong. I think that Coy Moore brings a lot to the table. Route running, speed ability, ability to high point the ball regardless of his size. I'm interested to get your thoughts. How does Coy Moore plug into this as you kind of round out your top three guys?
All right, so Coy Moore came in from LSU. So you know he's got to be talented just by the sheer fact that he went to LSU. But he's fast. His route running is pretty daggum good. Last season, I saw some issues with his catching ability. There were a lot of games, especially LSU, where there were a couple of catches he should have had, but they got jarred loose off of a hit. And it looked like at times he didn't like to get hit when he's trying to catch the ball, so he kind of just dropped it. But later on in the season, you saw him step up in that role. And, you know, one of his only touchdown of the season came from Jarquez Hunter. So worst comes to worst for Auburn football this next upcoming year, Jarquez could take that quarterback role. But I see a lot of talent out of Coy Moore. I saw him step up. He's one of those guys that you saw step up immediately after departure of Harsin. And, I mean, the talent is there. I mean, there's a reason he went to LSU, and there's a reason he came to Auburn right after. So I'm looking forward to see how he develops under this new wide receiver staff.
There's certainly a lot of pieces to be intrigued by in this wide receiver room. We've already mentioned, you know, Camden Brown, Coy Moore. We didn't talk about Javarius Johnson and his potential impact this year. And I don't want to dive too much into that because I do have another question for you, and we only have so much time here on the Auburn Daily Show. We don't like to run too far over. Where in the world's Landon King in this picture? We thought maybe he'd be hanging out with the tight ends, taking reps with the tight ends, kind of being your just freak of nature on the offensive side of the ball. And to our understanding, he has sat in on a handful of meetings with tight ends, but he's not getting first team snaps. Now, we only have that, 25 minute window where the media is allowed to be in. And there's only so much film that gets out from within the program in spring ball because you're trying to focus on yourself. It's like after a bad breakup, right? Kind of perfect scenario, so analogy there, where you're trying to work on yourself. But where is Landon King, and why is he not fit himself into this picture yet? Because all we have heard, and this is not me being critical, I'm super high on Lando. You know where I'm at.
Oh yeah.
But all we have heard is about how much he brings to the table. Dylan, why is it not there yet?
I think it could just be that they've missed out with the 20-minute window. Landon King definitely has probably the most talent out of anybody in this receiver room. And I mean, I love Camden Brown. I love Nick Mardner. I love all these guys. But Landon King has the speed, has the height, has the strength, has the hands. There's very little that he does wrong whenever he's on the field. And when I look at Landon King, I'm like, maybe we're just missing out on it with the 20-minute window. Maybe after that, Landon King just goes off. They don't want to show off their weapon. I mean, Landon King shouldn't be listed as a wide receiver or a tight end. He is a weapon. That's why he's playing both. He's 6'5", 209 pounds, and, I mean, that's a tight end height with a wide receiver weight. The dude can run just as fast as any of them out there, and I think that when it comes down to it, I'm going to go with the maybe they don't want to show him off just yet. Maybe A-Day is going to be his coming out party because – I like all these guys, and I mean, where do you really plug in Landon King? Is he an outside guy? He could be a slot guy. He's going to be playing a little bit of everywhere. If he's going to be playing tight end too, he could be playing running back for a couple snaps. Maybe we're just missing out on those key plays that he might be a different position.
Maybe Landon King's playing quarterback instead of Robbie Ashford this year. Who's to really say? I'm with you, Dylan. And you'd like to think that maybe outside that 25-minute window, he's getting reps elsewhere. It's just perplexing just a little bit that you've not seen anything in front of our eyes because Landon King entered the transfer portal this past year. And then Hugh Freeze made a point and priority to go back and get him. Smart move. Great move. Keep him on the roster. Don't let him go anywhere. He wants to be at Auburn. Don't be dumb. And Hugh Freeze did the right thing when he went back and brought him back in because I'd assume talent evaluation and talent retention. It's weird Man, it's odd that we've not really heard anything crazy. Now, granted, we're only a full weekend. And maybe there's some things we don't know about that we've not heard about. But it is a situation to monitor. You know what else you need to monitor? Your picks. When you use Prize Picks, Dylan. This season, the Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks in 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wager. Predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. That's clutch. Best of all, use promo code Auburn, that's AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, AUBURN, for double your first deposit this college basketball season. Win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. I know that college basketball is almost over, but you got March Madness. Why not make yourself even more stressed out than your bracket? Add in some Prize Picks there. Use promo code Auburn for double your first deposit up to $100. Dylan, let's pivot. We had a little basketball innuendo there. The Auburn basketball play tomorrow. We're actually not talking hoops today for the first time in a while. We're going to talk some Auburn baseball. I'm going to hand you the torch because I kind of geeked out and got to watch a masterclass from Auburn. And it was an all Auburn team of both color commentary, and managers and players. So there's a lot going on there. I'll open the floor and let you fire away.
All right, so of course Auburn won last night 4-1 in 9 innings. So I mean, me being a softball lover, I'm not used to seeing a full game. But looking at Auburn's win over UAB, what strengths did you see from this Auburn team last night?
Man, this offense is kind of coming together, but they got thrown off by Casey Dunn, Auburn alum, played with Greg Olson at Auburn under Coach Albert. But UAB threw, I think, 8, maybe 9 different pitchers last night, and Auburn did a decent job of adapting. It definitely kept Auburn off their rocker, off their kind of A game, getting into that rhythm, which when you're a school like UAB playing a school like Auburn, sell out for the win, and I completely get it. I was super impressed by the offensive resilience, the selectivity, if that's a word, of pitches. I was more impressed than anything by Tommy Vail's outing yesterday, man. I mean, 5 2/3, didn't give up a single hit, 5.2 innings, but didn't give out a single hit, 8 strikeouts, and didn't give up his first base runner until the 6th inning. He walked 2 guys, and Butch decided it was time to give him the hook and yank him out of the game. But Auburn's pitching rotation yesterday between him and eventually Chase also coming in and some relief appearance, which we're kind of seeing him bounce around this year, try to figure out where he's at. I was impressed, man. I mean, I don't know that Tommy Vail couldn't be a weekend guy.
I mean, you're not wrong. From what I've heard about yesterday, I sadly couldn't watch the game, which hurt. Tommy Vail is him, and Auburn has been desperately in search of that Sunday pitcher. I mean, usually it's been Alsip, and you know, Gonzo has been resting up for SEC conference play, and then it's been that third day that Auburn hasn't really had a true starting pitcher for the Sundays. I mean, I talked to Andrew Stefaniak the second weekend that Auburn was kind of just not having a starting pitcher. They had a place pitcher, I think is what he called it.
Yeah.
And you kind of had spot pitcher. Yes. And you just kind of had someone in play, but you would still, everyone would get a little bit of innings. But Tommy Vail has seemed to have stepped up in that role, and maybe SC conference play, maybe you're going to see Alsip, Gonzo, and of course Tommy Vail all in that same rotation together. And of course, can't forget John Armstrong as well, coming in for relief for a lot of those guys. But looking at on the other pitching side, Chase Alsup, how did he elevate his play as a relief pitcher instead of a starting pitcher?
I thought Chase came in and did a good job. I don't think he had his best stuff last night, and he still held UAB to one run, got in a little bit of trouble, and got himself out of a mess in the top of the 9th. And that's going to happen. But Chase has needed an opportunity to come out of the pen and kind of get right. He's gotten knocked around a little bit this year. He's just not had his best stuff yet. And that's okay. You're in the non-conference portion of your schedule. And I thought it was a good outing for him. He comes in, you have a tremendous amount of pressure. You're there on a combined no-hit bid. and you're going to let your guy down. Well, once you give up that first hit, the rest is kind of gravy, right? Kind of doesn't matter. And it takes that giant stress off your shoulders. I thought Chase looked controlled in terms of composure last night. Greg Olson mentioned it on the broadcast, and Britt Bowen mentioned it on the broadcast. He's got great stuff. I just don't think he's had his best stuff so far. And I think that it was a good opportunity for him to kind of get back in there. I don't want to say bounce back, but get in some innings in a situation where Auburn had pretty much kept UAB at bay. Well, not pretty much, had kept UAB at bay through, you know, 5.2 or through six, because Chase came in and pitched 7-8-9 or seven, back after the seventh. But I was impressed, and I think that also is going to definitely work himself back to where he's going to be a weekend guy. He just, it's one of those things. Sometimes you got to go to the pen and figure it out, especially at the collegiate level. It was a good opportunity for him. On the offensive side, Dylan, if I may, Bryson Ware, chill out, my man. I mean, four straight games with a deep bomb. The guy is seeing the baseball the size of a beach ball right now, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, I have a list from Fermi. He has one of the best slugging percentages in the country. He's homered in six of his last eight games, including all three games of the series against Lipscomb. I mean, he is just absolutely killing it. He has 19 RBI, and the season isn't even a quarter of the way done yet. So Bryson Ware has stepped up. I mean, we said Ike Irish was filling in the role of Sonny DeShera without the home runs, but it looks like Bryson Ware's taking over the home runs from what Sonny D had last season. But you had Bryson Ware hitting homers. You have Justin Kirby with his absolutely rocket of a swing. And then also you have Ike Irish, who's just collecting RBIs left and right, because, I mean, that dude can't go up without getting a hit. Auburn's offense has been absolutely outstanding thus far.
In large. Nate LaRue really going through it right now. Guy cannot buy a hit. But spin zone on him. And Greg Olson mentioned this on the broadcast again yesterday. He brought up a great point. Nate LaRue didn't hit that well through the majority of last year. And then I know that we gave him a lot of grief at the end, Dylan, you and I did. Hit the ball pretty well when it mattered. So it's one of those things he's got to work through. And Lindsey Crosby has told us to be patient time and time again. So I'll echo that. Nate LaRue yesterday on the defensive end of the ball, though, defensive side of the plate, made what should have been nothing that even resembled a close out at second base look easy on a ball that skips 7 feet away from him, and he still almost hosed a top two runner in the order for UAB. It was a bang-bang play, and that's when I looked at my roommate when we were watching the game together. I said, holy crap, I know Nate's got a cannon, but oh my gosh. It's one of those. If you hear the train horn, I'm sorry. There is a train going by my office right now. So.
Yeah, it goes along with the absolutely offensive appointments Auburn has.
Right, absolutely. But all aboard.
To go back to the defense side, what have you seen from Cole Foster thus far? He's changed position from second base to shortstop, and it looks like he's just absolutely popped off defensively.
At the risk of sounding like a fanboy, oh my gosh, Cole is so different. I mean, last night he was just putting on a clinic, and the one time he beat himself up was one of the very few hits. But I mean, he ate some right where you feel him in the gut, one of the tougher plays to make in baseball, and just makes it look easy. He was getting down on himself on a ball that shot through the gap that he made it the best effort he possibly could for, and there's no way you're either one of those guys are getting the ball. Cole Foster, man, what a just step right up, sir. It's your turn. And he's been productive on the offensive side of the plate. So this has been encouraging, and one of the more encouraging parts of Auburn's returners in 2023. You have your shortstop question answered. Your middle infield's good. You're going to be fine.
All right. And now just to look ahead to Thursday's game for Jacksonville State when Auburn is playing
actually tonight.
Is it tonight?
It is.
Oh, they don't play on Thursday. Yeah, that's five games in 6 days is absolutely wild to do, by the way.
It's nuts.
But Auburn is going against Jacksonville State, a team that beat them last season, with left-handed pitcher Connor Copeland. What are you looking forward to see from Copeland as they play against the team that Auburn should be a little wary of right now?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, Jacksonville State, UAB was not a bad team last night. Let's not get that lost in the sauce either. Jacksonville State's one of those teams. You're playing host to one of these big schools, your in-state quote-unquote rivals, because it's always fun to beat up on other teams inside the state. And Jacksonville State's a good ball club. Connor's got to have a good outing tonight. You got to get five innings plus out of Connor where he's at right now and hold it within a couple of runs, three runs, and it's a successful outing. Against Jacksonville State, I'd expect to be able to hold him to two. And what I'm looking for the most is if you get runners on base, going from the stretch, Connor Copeland being able to make sure that he doesn't hit the panic button and rush himself. Because you've got time. It's not like the majors right now where they have the pitch clock. You've got time. And he does best when he's composed, which is just like anyone. But one of those guys that really needs to work through one of those situations. And a midweek start's going to be very, very good for him. So it's almost like a Tommy Sheehan kind of thing, right? Where if you almost want to see Tommy go in and get a couple of maybe relief appearances in a midweek just for the confidence, if nothing else, right? So exciting matchup with Jacksonville State. That's at 6 p.m. Central on ESPN+. I will be watching. I already blocked off my evening. So,
yeah, I will be watching this one as well. It'll probably come before we record our College Loop episode.
It's going to happen. Or after. No, it's probably going to have to come.
But yeah, senior pitcher and Connor Copeland coming in. Are there any other guys you're expecting to see tonight?
I think that Ryan Olson probably gets an inning off the bump. Out of the pen. I just think he's due. That's not just me saying because obviously dad's friend of the program. But I think Ryan should be getting an inning in relief. Armstrong didn't pitch yesterday. I would think you'd want to hold him off because you probably want to throw him twice this weekend. Beyond that, I think the board's open. So Auburn and Butch Thompson are open for business. Someone else open for business? Dylan Lark. You're open to tell everybody where you can find your work and listen to more of your stuff. Go right ahead, buddy.
All right. Well, you can follow me. If you're watching it, it's right there below me. But if you're listening, it's at your boy, the tank, at YABOI, the tank. You can also catch me on the College Loop podcast that comes out every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, where we talk about the same stuff, but probably a little bit longer. And some really cool interviews coming on as well. And catch me on the Auburn Daily Show every Monday and, of course, Wednesdays. So, yeah.
Dylan, always a pleasure to talk to you, my man. And my name's Harrison Tarr. I'm at By Harrison Tarr. If you want to find me on Twitter, like you're reading my byline at The Auburn Daily, which is conveniently where you can find my written work. I've got NFL draft analysis coming your way here soon within the next 24, 48, somewhere in that ballpark. Like Dylan said, you can also find me on the College Loop podcast. That's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. We've got an exclusive interview coming out next week. I'm going to go ahead and tease it, Dylan, with Owen Papo, former linebacker at Auburn, standout, projected top four round NFL draft pick. Going to get to talk to him about his draft experience, his time at Auburn, and what the Auburn family means to him. You can always catch me on the Auburn Daily Show every Wednesday and Friday. Wednesday with Dylan Lark. Friday should be with Lindsey Crosby. He's on vacation right now. I'm going to let my man enjoy Florida. So it might be Dylan. I don't know who it's going to be yet. Dylan's probably learning this right now because I haven't told him yet. I learned earlier today. But it'll be a ton of fun. And I will miss Lindsey dearly, but I'll get to see him again next week and catch up and talk some more ball. And I bug him on his phone all the time. So thank you guys so much for listening to the Auburn Daily Show. We will see you guys same place, same time tomorrow. I will see you again on Friday, and I couldn't look forward to it more. Until next time, see you guys.